If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
4 o'clock. Straight up here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. It is After Hours, 888-808-1019. Final hour to go before the warm-up show with Al and CeeLo. That's coming up at 5 a.m. So I woke up on Friday, and I found out the news, as I often do, because I sleep till noon, partially because I work late after hours, and I'm not getting home till 1 a.m., 3 a.m. Tonight I'll be home at 6 a.m. in all likelihood. So I sleep till 12. Plus, I don't have kids. I have a cat, but the cat is up all night and then sleeps during the day, which is perfect. I mean, he bothers my wife a little bit. He jumps on the bed at 6 a.m. and he gets on top of mommy, and then I have to remind them only daddy can get on top of mommy, so please get out of here. Plus, when she doesn't get a good night's sleep, she takes it out on daddy a little bit. Nothing terrible, but it's kind of the... You get the, oh, by the way, which you never want to get. Oh, by the way, because whatever comes after oh, by the way is usually awful. You know, oh, by the way, you forgot to do this. Or, oh, by the way, I reminded you of this and you didn't do it. So I'm able to sleep till noon. So what happened on Friday when the news broke during a Boomer and Geo show, so I figured around, what, 9 a.m., 8 a.m., give or take? When I'm waking up at 12, you know, the world already rotated, you know, 16 times on its axis, and the Mets had fired Carlos Mendoza. So I had to process that. I had to take that all in. And the first thing that I went through my mind was Mendoza, to be honest with you, because you sort of end a chapter there, and then you move on to the next chapter, which is the manager that will take his place. So as far as Mendoza, look, that run in 24 was a magical run. What the Mets did in 2024 was as greatest season that I've seen from the Mets. Remember, I haven't seen them win a championship. So we're dealing with, you know, runs to a World Series or runs to an NLCS. But what happened in 2024 was a magical run. It was a great year. And Carlos Mendoza was at the forefront of that. And I thought he should have won Manager of the Year. He ended up beating the Manager of the Year in October. In a series, in a game three, in a moment that none of us will ever forget. And I thought we were on our way to Mendoza being here for a very long time, especially considering the start the team got off to in June. It didn't work out long term. Wish it would have. You can't find a classier, nicer guy than Carlos Mendoza. Now, you can't get by just on that. You got to win games. But the organization, meaning David Stearns, clearly believed in him. I think you heard that on Friday. David Stearns obviously, I think, still wanted Mendoza to be the manager. It felt like to me that Steve Cohen stepped in and said, hey, listen, got to make a change here. I know Mendoza's your guy. I still have faith in you, but we got to move on from Mendoza. We have to sort of show that there's accountability for the start that we're off to. And that's exactly what happened. And speaking of Cohen, I, along with others, I mean, Evan has said it, Craig has said it, I'm sure the guys in the morning have said it. Again, I'm sleeping, so I can't hear everything, but I can take in what's put out on social media. And I know I had a plea to Steve Cohen, and I know others here have had the plea, and that is for Steve Cohen to meet the media. Now, as an owner, you don't always have to address the audience or your fan base. Leon Rose, who just won a championship. Now, he did the roommate show with Brunson and Josh Hart because that was a promise. If they won a championship, he'd do the show. But once you win, and you win the big one, I don't need to hear from you anymore. Like, if I never hear from Leon Rose again, that's fine. Because the Knicks are the defending champs. He built that team brick by brick. It went from LOL Knicks to the Toast of the Town Knicks. They went from basically an expansion franchise to the gold standard in the NBA. So as far as I'm concerned, Leon Rose can go back into witness protection. Now, I'm positive Tommy with the Mets, but I understand, and perhaps this is why you're getting positive Tommy in moderation now, I understand that a lot of my fellow Met fans are upset, pissed off, annoyed, frustrated with what happened in the offseason, with the results of the first couple of months, and they're worried and concerned, and there's anxiety for the future of this team. And Stearns meets the media, I don't know, biweekly, but David Stearns sometimes talks in a manner that even Evan can't understand him. So if Evan can't decode sort of what David Stearns is listening to, it's tougher for a lot of the rest of us to do it. Obviously, you're going to hear from the manager day in and day out, but it's not the owner. And there are times where the owner has to step in and say something. They just have to. And I plead for it. And I said, look, I'm literally the fan that Steve Cohen wants from all Met fans. Positive, 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 positive. So I think when I say something, hey, Steve, you should meet the media. You should hit the podium. You should obviously come on this great radio station. That should be the first choice. But if you don't want to do that, don't tweet anything out. Don't tweet like a message out there. Do a sit down with Gelbs or Howie or Gary Cohen or whatever the case may be. So I said that last week. I know Evan had said it. I know Craig had said it. Steve Cohen had not tweeted anything since, get this, night one. And I say that only because this was a very memorable night. We had the WFAN watch party. It was night one of the draft. Knicks had lost to go down 2-1 to the Hawks. The Mets beat the Twins. It was a very busy and very fun night in New York sports. Certainly fun, meaning now in hindsight, because the Knicks ended up winning the championship. It wasn't fun at the time, but it ended up being fun, and then the watch party was awesome. But, and night one of the NFL draft is obviously one of the great non-sporting events that we have. Steve Cohen tweeted something about Bo Bichette that night. And then months and months went by, and we didn't hear from him. Well, Steve Cohen broke his silence on Twitter on Sunday, and one of the things he talked about was the fact that he will talk soon. Which is great to hear. I don't view it as a waving of the white flag. I don't view it as Steve Cohen needs to come out and say X, Y, and Z, or we're not going to try to win this year. Steve Cohen just needs to, I think, cut through a few narratives when you start hearing about, you know, casinos and just the state of the team overall. Some of the things you hear out there, I think Steve Cohen, it would be wise to just address those things. Doesn't have to be combative, doesn't have to be like George Steinbrenner back in the day with the patent message that Mike and Chris would have fun with. But just explain what the offseason was about. Explain why you're backing David Stearns. Explain the current state of the team and how you feel about it. Let Met fans know that you understand that they're upset. It's fine. That's like the best thing you could do as a husband. Honey, I understand you're upset. And I feel that you're upset. And I get that. Yeah, that goes a long way. My God, he knows I'm upset. He can feel my feelings. Great. And then you could go back to watching the game. And that's all Met fans want to do. They want to go back to watching the game. So if Steve Cohen comes out to your paying customers, your diehard fans, your fan base, everybody, season ticket holders, and just hits on all the necessary things, it's not going to change the record that the Mets have this year, but I think it will put a lot of people at ease. It will answer a lot of questions. And sometimes you got to hear from the fearless leader and not the Dave Clark Five. You got to hear from the guy at the top end chain of commands. And that's Steve Cohen. So I'm happy that Steve either was going to do this anyway or he got the message from the station. Either way, he is going to meet the media soon, which could be today, as soon as today, or tomorrow, or this week, or next week. But I would take soon as sometime within the next couple weeks. And I'm glad that Steve Cohen is doing that. And I don't think that David Stearns is going anywhere. I've made that very clear, and I will continue to make... And David Stearns told you that on Friday. I mean, he was asked about that when he wasn't asked about, you know, whether or not he thinks he should step down. He was asked, you know, about the fact that if he's talked to Steve Cohen or not and gotten sort of a pat... Now, all paraphrasing here. A pat on the back or, hey, your job is safe. And Stearns basically said, yeah, I talked to Steve and we're all good here. Which is not surprising. Steve Cohen hired David Stearns to turn the Mets into a sustained winner year in and year out to win games and to get to October. The job is obviously not finished, but you want to say it's a quarter of the way through, halfway through, whatever the case may be. But Steve Cohen, and this is David Stearns, who was highly sought after, who turned the Brewers into what they are, which is a division winner year in and year out. Steve Cohen, I didn't think, was going to pull the plug on that a couple of years in, including one year where they went to the NLCS. So you have a three-year track record, one NLCS, one halfway through the year, you had a great record, and I'm not suggesting that you hang a banner for that, but what I'm just telling the full story, that they had the great record halfway through the year. And then this offseason, things were done in an effort to build for the future. And that future, much to a lot of people's chagrin, did not include Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso would be a Met right now if he wanted to sign a one-year deal, which he didn't want. Pete got what he wanted. The Mets got what they wanted. Unfortunately, a lot of fans didn't get what they wanted, and I feel for that. I get it. I tend to look to the front of the jersey before I look to the back, but I love Pete Alonso, both as a baseball player and the couple times I got to meet him. Cool dude. So I got nothing but love for the guy, but the organization was unwilling to go multiple years. And as much as I wanted Pete Alonso back, I understood the mentality and mindset of doing that. And after I took my emotion of a fan out of the equation, and I put my sort of, okay, this is what they're thinking, this is what they're trying to do, I became more okay with that move. And now it's all about the manager and who the next manager is going to be. And Andy Green, he's going to step in here, but based on Friday's press conference with Stearns, Andy Green is going to go back to his former role in the Mets organization next year. So Andy Green is not up for the long-term solution for the Mets. So that leaves us for the next couple of months to talk about who is going to be the next guy. And we're all going to have lists. We're all going to have top candidates. We're all going to have top people that we want to see get the gig. And I've already heard a lot of names. To me, this is my number one top of the list. It is the list for now. And that is Alex Cora. Much like John Harbaugh, I think the Mets need to pull out all the stops to hire Alex Cora. You know, John Harbaugh and Alex Cora have a lot of similarities. They both won a championship. They both have a tremendous track record. They both have a lot of respect, you know, across their sports. Alex Cora is a winner. Harbaugh is a winner. They both sort of rule with an iron fist. They're both CEOs. They're both adult in the rooms. They are the type of coach or manager to take you to the promised land. And the Giants, look, they were desperate. They could not go the coordinator route. They had to pull out all the stops. They had to wine and dine and do everything in their power as one of the great franchises in the NFL to get Harbaugh to sign on the dotted line. And they did that, and they should be commended for that because it puts the Giants on the map in a big-time way. With the Mets, you should do the same type of thing. Wine and dine. Alex Cora, how often do you get John Harbaugh out there as a free agent? Available to be hired. Same thing with Cora. You have a guy in the prime of his career that's a top two or three manager in baseball. He knows the market. He played for the Mets. Alex Cora, to me, is the guy. But you're going to have to go the route in which the Giants did, and that is full court pressed, pull out all the stops. You have Soto. You have a young core of an outfield that I think there's a lot to get excited about. You have a billionaire owner. You have a top market. You have ownership that's willing to put a ton of resources into this team to win. You have David Stearns, who has a track record of winning. You are in all likelihood going to hire a general manager, I believe. I'm 80% sure it's going to be Carlos Beltran. So there's a lot to like about the job. But the Mets are going to have to present that to Alex Cora and pull out all the stops, because Alex Cora is going to have a lot of suitors and a lot of teams vying for his services. But the Mets need to put themselves head and shoulders and outwork everybody to get Cora to sign on the dotted line. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a loogie here in the late night. Tommy Lugauer on the Fan. We will get back to your calls. We got another 45 minutes or so to go here on the show. CeeLo and Al are coming your way at 5 a.m. It is the warm-up show. Don't worry. It's only an hour, and most days it doesn't suck. Now, I don't know if that includes the CeeLo shows. Like, obviously, when it's Al and Jerry, most days it doesn't suck. But when CeeLo is there, does CeeLo add suckiness to it? Like, does it suck more than it would suck with the other two? Like, how much suck does CeeLo add to the show? That's the part I don't know. It's not really in the promo or in the lead into the show. So I'm not aware of that. I'll talk to my warm-up show people about that on the, you know, on this. I'm not going to go to CeeLo and be like, bro, you kind of suck, but maybe I'll go to Al or Rami, or maybe I'll text Eddie. He should get back to me in the next, I don't know, 7 months. So I'm going to find out if CeeLo adds more to the suck of the warm-up show. But anytime I listen to it on the way home, it doesn't suck. So it is actually accurate, and it is only an hour. So both of those things are true. I just don't know if they're true with CeeLo. But I do know Jerry is off, and CeeLo will be in with Al coming up in the next couple minutes. It's Met managerial search. It's also Yankees, worst loss of the year, I thought, worst series loss of the year. But big picture, the Yankees are the best team in the American League, and I still think they're going to the World Series. It is NBA free agency this week. The Knicks have already brought back Mo Diawara. They've already brought back Jose Alvarado. What does the future hold for Mitchell Robinson? What does the future hold for Shamet? What does the future hold for this Knick roster? Will they be able to bring it all the way back? Are they going to enter the second apron? We're about to find out over the next couple days or so. So if the Knicks are on your mind, the Mets are on your mind, the Yankees are on your mind, the phone number to join the conversation is 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie the Late Night here on The Fan.
If you can make a dish, you can make a signature recipe and showcase it on your beautiful website that you built with Squarespace. And if you can make a stitch, you can make an outfit and put it on your online store that you built with Squarespace. And if you can hit the pose, you can teach the class that they can book on your site that you built with Squarespace. Because whatever your business, you can build it at squarespace.com. Use offer code EMPIRE for 10% off your website or domain.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
422 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on The Fan. We'll get into this a little bit more in the midweek because the match is the soccer term, not game. Okay, it's match, not game. We'll get into it a little bit more on Wednesday or going into Wednesday because the match is Wednesday night. But Team USA, or better known as us, we have a match on Wednesday in the round of 32 in the World Cup. And if you're not the biggest soccer fan, and look, I get into the soccer or football, as they call it, across the pond. The World Cup I'm always into. And this is, to me, the best we have been ever. This is the best team we have. Even though it was an easy group, I mean, the USA flexed their muscles and they would have beat Turkey or Turkey, as they go by now. But they would have won that match if they actually played most of their starters. I know Pulisic actually played in that game a little bit, but he had been out really since the first half of the first match against Paraguay. But Wednesday, round of 32, we are heavy favorites in that match. I totally expect us to move on, which would mean a matchup with either Belgium or Senegal in the Sweet 16 or the round of 16, which is a match the USA can win. And if they do that, we're now talking about a spot where they've never been before. We've never been before. And that is quarterfinals against either Spain, which is a heavy favorite team, a team that's really good, probably top four or five team in the world, or, granted, now crazy things can happen, but in all likelihood, Spain or Portugal, which of course is led by, although barely, he's not as that good anymore, but Ronaldo is obviously the big star of Portugal. So a Ronaldo, and I'm telling you right now, Portugal, this is somebody who might even have a couple of, a little bit of Scarol on Portugal. If it's us versus Portugal, we'll win that match. If it's Spain, that's going to be tough. But still, quarterfinals would be an incredible run, and I think that match is going to get a lot of attention. This run that we're on right now, it hasn't gotten a lot of buzz because you're talking about, especially around here, because of the Knicks, because of the baseball. But I think Wednesday, especially because the Yankees are off, Mets will be playing, that's going to get a lot of focus and a lot of attention. Plus, you're heading into the 4th of July. It would have been sick if we were playing on the 4th of July. I was kind of hoping that would be the case. It's not. That's a Sweet 16 game, but it won't be Team USA. It won't be us. But that would have been awesome. But even Wednesday, I mean, once you start to get to Wednesday, it becomes, you know, an extended 4th of July weekend. But we'll talk about it a little bit more coming up here on After Hours in the shows leading into it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Now, as far as something positive with the Mets, you know I like to talk about the positivity, and it is positive, Tommy, in moderation here, but I think it's important to sometimes isolate some positive things. In a weekend where, look, they didn't win the series against the Phillies, and they're going to fall short of my goal of finishing a 500 record of June, so a 500 record in June. But I think there are some things you could look at with this team that are positive. And the biggest thing I look at with the Mets right now is, in terms of positivity, is their outfield. The biggest thing I look at in terms of positivity with the Mets right now is their outfield. Soto, Benj, Ewing. I mean, you're going to be looking at these three guys in that outfield for a lot of years to come. And you saw a nice weekend from Ewing. Benj has been spectacular, and Soto is Soto. I mean, he's having just a ridiculous year, and he's one of the best players in baseball. So if you need something to sort of hang your hat on positivity-wise, if there's something that you need to look at and say, hey, for the next 5, 10, 15 years, what is going to be the hallmark, the benchmark, sort of the foundation of this Met team? I think it's this outfield of Soto, Benj, and Ewing. So there's a lot to like about it. There's a lot to be excited about. There's a reason to go to the park. There's a reason to watch the games. There's a reason to be positive about those three individuals. And a lot of credit goes to not only, of course, the signing of Soto, but the Mets for opening up the avenues and the platform here for Benj to win that job, which you wouldn't have done unless you traded Brandon Nimmo. And then the Ewing situation, obviously Luis Robert Jr. had to get hurt, but still, you knew Ewing was kind of waiting in the wings. So I'm very upbeat. I'm very positive about Soto, Benj, and Ewing. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Please, can you do me a favor? Can you just give me a paper towel here? Because right before we got on the air, I spilled water in here. So I don't want to... It's right in front of me there. My bad on that. You know, sometimes I have a... I don't think water is going to do anything, but that's the last thing we need here. The paper towel's right over there. Got a little bit of a spillage here. But yeah, I'm very positive about those three individuals. I can talk and clean water at the exact same time. Yeah, it was... You know, and it's always when I have a full cup. It's never when I have... It's never when I have like a little bit of water left. Because much like the World Cup, which we started the segment on, in radio, you're not supposed to use the word break. You're not supposed to say, hey, we're going to break. Which I don't get because, I mean, our audience is not stupid. They understand that we break a couple times an hour. And they realize, like, it's obvious, like, you're wrapping up a segment in the verbiage that you use. So, coming up and blah, 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 or you tease it. So I think our audience is smarter than that. But I know a lot of program directors, a lot of upper management don't like using the word break. So we here on After Hours, when we go to break, sometimes instead of calling it a break and say we're going to break or doing a tease, we call it a hydration timeout, which is what they're doing in the World Cup because it's super hot outside. That kind of reminds me when I played soccer when I was younger and we would have what the heck did we eat? Oh, an orange. We would get oranges just for being out there. I don't know if it had anything to do with anything, but we would eat oranges every so often during a game or a match, And that was always cool. That was like one of the benefits. I played soccer for a year. I was like, I don't really like it. But I did like the oranges. So we here take a hydration break. So during those hydration breaks, I get hydrated. I go out in the newsroom. I talk to Jerry sometimes, which is usually just me talking to Jerry and Jerry going, what? And then CeeLo, I get a little more out of because we're such dear friends. Actually, I'm friends with Jerry too, so I shouldn't say that. But CeeLo and I were just chit-chatting, and then I got water there. And then right as we're coming out of break, and I'm kind of, because I talk with my hands a little bit, I knocked the water right over. I knocked it right over. And I had the paper towel in here, but I didn't have time to go over and get it. Okay, so the water's been cleaned up. So hopefully no harm, no foul. Where was I? Oh, yes. So, yeah, there's a lot to be positive about with the Mets, but the one thing that I get the record. So when you hear that, you're like, oh, what the heck? But I think the foundation is being built. I do think there's a lot to like about this team. I think there's a lot to like about for a future manager in terms of seeing this roster and going, that Juan Soto's pretty damn good. That outfield you're building's pretty damn good. Oh, and another guy, too. Now that we're on that topic, and this is something I wanted to get to. I'm glad we're going to get to it before we wrap up. Nolan McLain is, I still think, on his way to superstardom. I still think he's on his way to being the ace of the staff. He's a guy, though, that I know a lot of people are selling their Nolan McLain. Is it shares or stocks? Either way. Shares, stocks, whatever the case may be. They're selling him. And I think that is a big mistake. This is still his rookie year. Like, he came up with a cup of coffee at the end of last year. And Nolan McLain, as far as, you know, what he has been thrusted into and what the expectations are on his shoulders every time he goes to the mound, have been incredibly unfair. But it's just been the nature of where the Mets were at last year and then obviously with the start they've had to this year. But everybody looks to Nolan McLain to be a guy that's going to go out there and throw 8 innings and shut out baseball and just be insane in his first couple of months as a big leaguer, which is essentially what this is. He's not even completed his rookie season yet. And I could already see people kind of getting off the Nolan McLain hype train, which I think is a mistake. Nolan McLain has all the things that you want in a stud pitcher. He's got the stuff. He's got the makeup. He's got the mentality. And when I first saw him pitch, you could see all those things in the big leagues, when Major League Baseball. When you first saw him up here, he had all the makings. I think you could just see it kind of oozing out of him. And we're still talking about a guy that's a rookie. And there's been enough shown, especially in the mental part of it, the makeup, that I think would lead you to believe that Nolan McLain has got the goods and is going to be a stud and a big-time pitcher in baseball and for the Mets. So I'm not selling any of my stocks. I'm not selling any of my shares. I am still all in on Nolan McLain being a big-time pitcher for the Mets. Now, and this is a conversation that we could have, you know, going forward. It doesn't have to be tonight or anything like that, but we kind of touched on it a little bit with a caller last hour. And that is the idea of the trade deadline, because that's coming up in July. And my stance on it has been, hey, look, if the Mets can go on that run that I've been looking for, that 8-game winning streak, that 10-game winning streak, if they're able to do that, then ultimately they would be buyers at the deadline. So for the sake of just conversation, if they do continue to play at the level they're playing right now and they don't go on that 10-game winning streak to get them back, then there's obviously going to be names out there that they can move. I would be in the market of keeping Clay Holmes and extending him. I am hopeful that Bo Bichette opts in. So he's a tricky scenario. I think Peralta could be, and you're going to get a lot for him because you got a big-time starting pitcher. I mean, he led the National League in wins last year, and he's an all-star. So if the Mets don't feel like they want to make a long-term investment in him, you're going to get a lot for him. Weaver, as great as he's been, and he's been near perfect, you're going to get a lot for him. So there are players on this team that you can get a lot for. I'm not ready to be in that mentality, in that mindset, but certainly if that ends up being the conversation and ends up being the narrative and ends up being the reality in 3 or 4 weeks, I am optimistic that the Mets have a lot of pieces that they can move that would, look, for David Peterson, the Mets got a second round pick in 2024, a guy that was picked in the second round in 24. That was for Peterson. So now think of Weaver in the year he's having, Minter, Peralta. I like the idea of keeping Bichette and seeing if he'll opt in, but there's obviously some risk there. But Bo Bichette, his numbers are going to be right up where you expected Bo Bichette's numbers to be. I'm also getting a pimple on my elbow right now. I don't know why that is. I think it might be because of the leaning that I do here on the table. It just kind of developed there. So I'm wiping the water down. I'm checking out this pimple on the elbow. It's better than having one on your face or your ass, obviously. I mean, no one wants that. But, you know, who the heck wants a pimple on their elbow? It's just a weird spot for it. But I think I lean on the... See here, the table here? I think I kind of lean my elbow on there, and the friction of it causes said pimple. Where was I? Yes. So if that ends up being the case, we'll certainly have that conversation. But right now, I don't think we're there yet, or I'm not there yet, I should say. And as far as the deadline for the Yankees, look, you can't have Austin Wells as your catcher. Hunter Goodman is a guy that hit, I think, 31 home runs last year. He's got 25 home runs this year. He's a right-handed catcher with power. He's on the Rockies. I don't know if Colorado's going to be in the market of selling him off. There's still a team that is trying to rebuild, to try to get to being any sort of relevant franchise in baseball. But if he is made available, I think that's a guy the Yankees should pounce on, plus a couple of relievers as well. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. Whatever's on your mind for the final 25 minutes, we'll get into some Nick talk as well. 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
441 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. This Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. If you tuned in to NBC at the beginning of the game to see Yankees Red Sox, you instead got the Travelers Championship. You instead got Scottie Scheffler. You instead got Victor Hovland. And oh, by the way, there will be a playoff tomorrow morning. But the reason you got that is because there was a rain delay or suspended play because of weather at the Travelers, and that delay caused the match to end later, or the round to end later, I should say, than normally expected. So it bled into Sunday Night Baseball. Now, usually the Travelers is on CBS. This year was on NBC. I think NBC lost a tournament, and this was kind of like a make-good, because normally it's on two, not four. But obviously with Sunday Night Baseball now on NBC, and look, it's not NBC's fault that there was rain. It's not NBC's fault. Probably their hands were tied in this situation. They had to keep the golf on four, and they couldn't move it to Peacock, and they couldn't move it somewhere else. So I'm not blaming them for anything like that. But what they did wrong was they didn't let anybody know where the Yankee game was. Or they didn't let you know enough to where everybody clearly knew what was going on. Because I received multiple texts about it. I'm sure Larry David was calling everybody trying to figure out where the Yankee game was. Your Aunt Rose and Uncle Louie had no idea where the game was. So people are turning on the television. They're expecting it to be on NBC. And then they get the golf. They got Scottie Scheffler. They got Victor Hovland. They got all the Norwegian fans that were out there. I guess they were at Citi Field. Now they're at the Travelers Championship. And by the way, Victor Hovland, obviously from Norway. But... So it worked out there, and it was a great ending to it, by the way. I was kind of flipping back and forth with everything. Scheffler, much like Scottie Scheffler does, drills, you know, a par putt from 9 feet, and you got a little emotion out of Scottie, which normally is a robot, but in this spot, he was emotional. Maybe it was because of the crowds, but it was a cool scene, and look, if you're a golf fan, you're excited to watch that, and you don't care what channel the baseball's on. If you're a baseball fan, and you're tuning in, and you hate golf, you see the golf, and you're like, where the heck's my baseball? Now, this is why you have these streaming services or other channels in your family of networks, but this is where NBC's got to be a little bit more, whether you have the scroll at the bottom of the screen or something telling your audience that's looking for the baseball, hey, if you want the baseball, it's here. Because like I said, I got several texts from it, and several phone calls. I mean, Larry David was calling up everybody. Where's the Yankee game? He had no idea what channel the Yankee game was on because he thought it was NBC. Same thing with your Aunt Rose. Same thing with your Uncle Louie. They had no clue where to find the game. So NBC in that spot just has to be a little bit more communicative about where the baseball game is. Now, ultimately, they finally got there. The funny troll would have been, hey, we're not doing the playoff in the morning. We're just going to extend the... We'll get to the baseball in about the eighth inning. But ultimately got there, I think, around the fourth inning. And then, obviously, Sonny Gray almost pitched a no-hitter, which would have stung for Yankee fans. I get it. You don't like the sight of Sonny Gray. And I totally understand why. But I felt like if the Yankees got a hit there, they would ultimately win the game, meaning they got a base runner, get Gray out of the game, go after Chapman, who had pitched three out of the four games, ultimately, as he came in on Sunday, three out of four games in this series, and he clearly wasn't super sharp. Now, his outfield defense didn't exactly help him either. I don't know what the heck Abreu's thinking about on that throw to the infield. I mean, Caballero's run means absolutely nothing, so you try to throw to second base, not third base. He decided not to throw to either. Now, you're still missing the cutoff, man. That's something I'd like you to work on in the offseason. I play right field for us. She's crying, sir. Treat these girls like you would treat your sister, your daughter, your mother. And then the next line I can't say, but you could say it on the warm-up show because they use words like that on there. For this show, I just feel like, I can't use it. But at 5 o'clock, CeeLo could finish that line of the next line, which gets Jimmy Dugan thrown out of the game. But yeah, Abreu missed the cutoff, man. And he threw the ball to the fifth row. Oh, what the hell he was doing? I mean, that was just ridiculously bad. And that's a great fielder, but he had two bad errors in that game, which almost led to a Yankee victory. And then, of course, we get the M. Night Shyamalan twist that nobody saw coming, which was the Yankees ended up losing the game in the bottom of the 10th inning. So that's what happened there. But yeah, as far as NBC, you got to alert your audience where the game is if it's not on the channel that you said it would be on or that people think it's going to be on. And look, there was a delay in the golf. It is what it is. Nobody's fault. I'm sure NBC had to air the golf on its main channel. And there's plenty of golf fans that don't care about baseball. So it's always a double-edged sort of, hey, I want my baseball game. What about the golf fans that wanted their golf? Let's go to Richie in Queens here on After Hours. What's up, Richie?
Yeah, Dumby, it's such a mess with the streaming. I mean, I didn't think it'd get this quick. I knew it was coming. But, you know, the game's not on Peacock. You go to Peacock, you got to, you know, pay for that, and you can't see the game. And, you know, with the Yankees real quick, you know, okay, you lose four in a row, which is pretty horrific when you think about it. But, you know, we're taking lightly what's going on with Fried. Hopefully he's back. He comes back healthy. Obviously what's going on with Judge, are they hiding that? They're both.
I don't think they're hiding anything with Aaron Judge. I mean, they made it pretty clear that he was going to be back this season, and based on, you know, we're not doctors, but
yeah, when now, Tommy? I mean, we hope. And then the other thing too that bothers me, you know, Stanton gets a pass in this respect. There's only two teams that you can say, you know what, we don't really care about Stanton getting to the playoffs because we need, you know, we don't need him. We're going to be in the playoffs. Every other team would need him to get to the playoffs,
right?
And it's just embarrassing.
The Yankees basically don't even need Judge to get to the playoffs at this rate. I mean, they were 13-8 before the series without him. Now, obviously, you'd rather not have him out, but they were playing good baseball. Although this weekend, they clearly missed all the guys we're talking about. Stanton, Judge, Grisham, the lineup just did not
get it done. It's catching up. And real quick, with the Mets, I thought it was a good idea to keep pitch Senga. I mean, Senga is borderline minor leaguer. He gave you five innings. I know he gave up the home run to Schwarber, but everybody does that. So I thought
Schwarber's got 30 home runs, which is just stupid. I mean, that's just insane how many home runs.
Yeah, that's going to happen. But I thought that was a positive, and they need a pot, Tommy. They're so bad. And
I think, you know, when I look at Schwarber and I look at Wheeler, both of those guys could have been Mets. You know, obviously Wheeler was, and Schwarber could have been a Met years ago.
Wheeler should have been a Giant.
Well, yeah, I know. But the Mets obviously let him get away. And then, like I said, Schwarber could have been a Met for a very discounted price a bunch of years ago, and now he's one of the best power hitters in the sport. I know this offseason they wanted to bring in Schwarber, but it didn't seem like he was going to leave Philly. Now, I think if they had... Now, listen, I said this too at the time. I said, the only guy that's going to duplicate, if not exceed Alonso's power numbers is Schwarber. If the Mets had signed Kyle Schwarber and he's got 30 home runs right now, we wouldn't receive one phone call about Pete Alonso.
Yeah, well, yeah, the thing, too, Alonso, you know, the other thing is he's 58 RBIs, 252, on pace to hit, you know, 40 home runs.
He's on pace to do what you expected him to do.
And he's got two errors, Tom. And this thing about this, you know, defensive prowess, that he's fine.
It was more about throwing the ball. I felt like with the scooping and all that. Yeah, it was just a throw.
Okay, and the other thing, too.
But you also have to factor in range with that, which you can't. Well, I don't want to get into, like, analytics, but I'm sure there's an analytical stat that factors in it. You can't get to a ball, and that goes against your defense. But, yeah, if you're just watching the game. Well, I know, but I'm just saying. There's probably.
You've got the worst defensive people at first base now. I mean, goodness gracious.
Well, but Mark Vientos is not a first baseman. Because Polanco got hurt.
Beatty's not an outfielder. Bichette's not a third baseman.
Bichette's been good defensively.
Everything has been horrible. Everything's been horrible. But real quick, were you upset with Lindor? Should they have let him swing the bat?
I guess.
You know, there's a spot. They need such a positive, Tom, right? Bases loaded. Mauricio's up. One out. Get Lindor in for that. Goodness gracious. Win 2 out of 3. All right, Tommy. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, you got it, Richie. Always a pleasure as well. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Before we get out of here, just a couple of things on the Knicks. And I touched on this last week, but obviously new audience here. The Mitchell Robinson stuff, and Bondi had it, Shams had it, that Mitchell Robinson could be on his way out. And look, we're going to hear a lot about the second apron. We've already heard a lot about it over the last week or so, ever since the Knicks had their championship parade, because James Dolan came on this radio station, he came on Craig's show, and he brought up the second apron. And I want to see this entire team back next year. DUR already back. Alvarado already back. We're going to find out about Mitchell Robinson, Shamet, some of these guys sooner rather than later as free agency begins, I believe, Tuesday night, right around like 6 o'clock or so. So, and you know how this works. It's fast and furious. It's not like baseball. Basketball, football, it's done quickly. So we should get an answer and a resolution on what the Knicks are doing and if these guys are going to go on other teams or they're going to run it back. But I feel like this team earned the right to run it back, to defend their crown. And the dreaded second apron, which, by the way, and I saw Eamon McEnany talking about this, who obviously works with CeeLo and JJ and all these guys at SNY. I think his mom or something, but someone in his life, much like my mom. My mom's like, can you explain the second apron to me? I'm like, I don't really, no. I can't. If you want me to explain the second apron to you, then call the show. I'm off hours here. I'm not going to sit around and talk about the second apron when I'm not hosting and explain to you what the second apron is. Not doing that. I'll watch the games. I'll enjoy sports, but I'm not Evan. I don't break down the second apron to my mother when I'm not doing a radio show. So I would advise you to Google it. I think that's what I told her. Which you probably shouldn't do with your mom. She's like, can you just tell me what the second apron is? I'm like, can you just Google it? I go, do you listen to the show? I think I do a pretty decent job of explaining it. But I'm not going to sit here for an hour and break down the second apron. If I did that, you know how much Al Dukes would bash me? Tommy's talking about the second apron. Nobody cares. And I get it. You don't want to do an X's and O's on the second apron. You just talk about the second apron like it's a thing. It's not like Fight Club where you don't want to talk about it. You got to mention the second apron. But you could talk around it, because if we go in depth here, you're going to lose everybody. The second apron. Another babka? There was a second spitter. And then I yell out, I'm hit! But the Knicks can go to the second apron and get out of the second apron in a year. But the only way they're going to run this back the way I want it to is by going into that threshold and going into that second apron, which by all accounts they don't want to do, whether it's the words said by James Dolan or it's the actions on draft night. It seems to be about money right now, which, look, in Leon we trust. So whatever is thrown into Leon Rose's lap here, whatever's presented to him is, hey, this is the offseason, this is the restrictions, this is what we're dealing with, I'm not going to the second apron, make it work. I trust Leon Rose. I mean, brick by brick, he built the Knicks into a championship team. He took a expansion team, essentially, which is what the Knicks were, and he turned them into the toast of the, not just New York, but also of the NBA as they're the defending champs. I, in a perfect world, would love to see this team return in full to defend their crown. And by doing that, you have to pay these guys, starting with Karl Anthony Towns, who I would like to see extended in the offseason. That, to me, is the number one priority. And hopefully, like Jalen Brunson, he takes a pay cut. He takes a hometown discount, which I'm not going to shame him if he doesn't, but I'd like to see the starting five together as long as humanly possible. And that window would certainly extend if Karl Anthony Towns signs said extension. And then you can extend Josh Hart. OG's obviously not going anywhere for a long time. Mikal just signed the extension. Brunson is not going anywhere for a long time either. So you keep the starting five, the best starting five in the NBA, together as long as humanly possible. Because what the Knicks were all about in this run was connectiveness, cohesion, chemistry, which ultimately led to a championship. The fact that I can stick the landing on all four C's after a five-hour after hours, really, what more do you need to hear from me? I mean, what do you need, a trapeze act at this point? What more do you need from me? That's a hard one to land even my first hour on the show. The fact that I landed that 5 hours in on a Big Lugowski, that's pretty impressive. But I don't want this team to get broken up. And until one of these guys leaves, I will hold out hope that this entire team is going to return. It might be pie in the sky. It might be too much positive Tommy. Because remember, with the Mets now, it's positive Tommy in moderation. Maybe even moderate Tommy. With the Knicks, it's full-blown positive Tommy. Perhaps we've even entered delusional, or delulu, as the kids would say it, Tommy. You know, there's many Tommies. So this might be delusional Tommy. But I'm going to stay in that delusion because that's what a championship and parade will do for you. It'll make you all sorts of delulu. But I want to see this team back. I want to see the entire bench come out. As much as I like, you know, you want to see Diwar and Kolek and Dottier get more minutes and develop. Yes. But I also want this team to have 1 year here in the second apron, fully returned, and that chance to defend their crown. That chance to see the Spurs again in the finals. Because that's my prediction. I think the Knicks get my path of... The Knicks repeating is Celtics, Heat, Pacers, Spurs again in the final, and this time Wemby, who's obviously a poor sport, we know that. This time, though, he's going to have to shake Jalen Brunson's hand if I'm building my storyline for the Knicks in 2027. Celtics, Heat, Pacers, Spurs in the final. This time, Wemby will have to, instead of being a baby, a sore loser, unprofessional, quite frankly. And he could take a couple of pages out of the professional book of Jalen Brunson on how to be a professional, how to be the face of the league, how to be a superstar. And that is not to act the way he acted throughout this playoff run. But this time, Wemby is not going to be able to skip the podium. He's not going to be able to not acknowledge, so to speak, the champions of the world, the back-to-back champions of the world, and that's the Knicks, and that's Jalen Brunson. To me, that's the way it should be. Now, maybe this is delusional Tommy speaking, but there's nobody in the East that really stands up, I think, as stiff competition for the Knicks. I can't fathom how the Celtics are favored over them. I mean, really, what are we doing here? I mean, the Celtics essentially have no front court. They lost the Giannis sweepstakes, and they're going to have to play catch-up this entire offseason. I think Jaylen Brown will be on a new team next year, so you're dealing with one superstar player, Jason Tatum, who's still recovering from a major injury. He's still recovering from an injury that kept him out of a game 7 in the second round. So we'll see what type of Jason Tatum is sitting there for the Celtics. But I can't understand, and this isn't even me just being a Knicks fan. I mean, you ask anybody, how the heck the Celtics are favored over the Knicks? The Knicks should be the odds-on favorite to win everything, let alone the East. They have to be staring up at the Celtics based on what? And if those two teams would have met this year, the Knicks would have beat them by 50 in every game, and that series would have been over in 5. Show's over already? Hardly. I mean, it went by so fast. I mean, these 5-hour overnights, they just fly by. They really, I mean, they just breeze by. They're like a summer dream. That's really, they're like a day at the beach. My thanks to Fliegelman on the other side. My thanks to all the callers, all the listeners. We'll be back with After Hours coming up later on tonight. That's after the Yankee game, so figure 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock or so. So we'll have plenty more to talk about there. Mets managerial search, Yankees, Knicks as free agency, inches closer and closer. The warm-up show comes your way next. Al Dukes, Chris Lopresti, and I will talk to you later on after the Yankee postgame, right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, WFAN.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.